You're listening to Almost Famous with Jim Francis Meza, only on LA Talk Radio.
Today we're off to the races. Guys, I hope everyone is ready for Christmas and Hanukkah. They both fall on the same day this year, time of year, and I'm super stoked to be able to celebrate both holidays. I'm just as excited as many of you. Hope you guys are drinking eggnog as I have been this whole morning, and I ran out of eggnog, actually. I have to go back to the store. But crazy enough, like two nights ago, I had somebody go into an IHOP and purchase a ton of flapjacks or something, because it's over $470 charged on my account, which I didn't. For one thing, I don't live in Selma. I live in Woodland Hills. So that was strange. But we got all that sorted out today. And I'm happy because I have a wonderful guest tonight, as I typically send you guys wonderful guest every Wednesday night. I have a great actress, acting coach, producer, director. She's directed over 30 plays, movies, a lot under her belt. Guys, give it up. Help me give it up for Miss Michelle Danner.
Hi, how are you? Thank you for having me.
Michelle, you have such a lovely backdrop.
Yes, I noticed it. Something. Nicholas, close the bedroom door. I noticed. I'm actually in New York. Yes. At my sister's apartment, celebrating the holidays. Beautiful. And love being in the city. And it's really cold today.
I can already feel it, like right over here. I'm teleporting over there or something. It's chilly. It really is. But so excited to have you on. There's just so much to unpack. I know you got a couple of different projects in the works, and I like to hear all about them, but let's start off with your father, your dad. He was a pretty prolific guy. I mean, he's worked in France. You know, he worked in France. He was a producer, or he is rather, producer, president, first president of William Morris to spearhead the France department. Right? Is that correct?
In France, he opened the very first William Morris agency in the 60s. Wow. Paris, in France. He's actually no longer with us.
Sadly. I'm sorry.
But, we celebrate him every day. He is in us.
Absolutely. He's in your heart, for sure, and all around. Your creativity, of course, you know. Speaking of which, and so did you grew up in, were you living with, like, bi-coastal? You staying over there in France for when you were a kid, or did you grow up over there?
Yes, I grew up in Paris and France and traveled all over Europe when I was a child and then a teenager. I always loved to tell the stories that I used to go to the office, to the William Morris office, and play under my father's desk while, you know, these big stars would come in and discuss, brainstorm on their dreams. And so at a young age, I was, you know, in this world, this very fascinating world of artists. And then growing up in Paris, I would always go to museums. I would go to the Palais de Versailles. You know, it seems like every weekend somebody would come visit us from out of town. And so we went to the castle and to the tours and the museums. And I loved, you know, story. I loved literature. I would always read. I was an avid reader and went to the theater a lot and to the movies. So my love of storytelling started at a very young age.
Right. And I mean, it runs through your blood, your DNA, right? And needless to say, I mean, being in one of the biggest agencies in the world, William Morris, I have a story, a little sidebar for you. I used to drive limos. I have a book out there, Juicy Divas Confessions of a Limo Driver. I had to plug it in, Michelle. But I used to drive the heads of William Morris here, and I drove Patrick Weitzel, I think. He was an agent. Big agent. He was with Jeff Bezos' wife now. He used to be married to her many years ago. I'm dating myself a long, long time ago. But at any rate, yeah, so it's funny when you mentioned that. I go, oh, that's so cool. I saw that. And so what kind of luminaries or who are we talking about? Some of the names. I mean, I'm just itching to find out and wonder, you know. I can't help.
I remember Sammy Davis and Edith Piaf and Charles Aznavour and Mireille Mathias. I mean, so many for people that maybe you wouldn't recognize because they're huge French icons. What's his name? Johnny Holiday, Joe Dassin. I mean, all these great singers and actors. Benny Goodman, did I say that? Some are escaping me, but anyway, it was, I had a great childhood. And then when I was a teenager, we moved back to New York, which I am tonight. And, you know, and studied acting. I was lucky to study with Stella Adler, with Ura Hagen, with Herbert Bergdorf. And I studied, I took a lot of wonderful classes that inspired me. And then I moved to LA in the 90s.
Beautiful. And you, yeah. And I was going to ask you, so is this like, I mean, is it like a fusion of all these techniques that you bring to the table in, at your school of art? The acting studio, the Michelle Danner's acting studio?
Yes. I mean, I remember reading so many books, you know, so many different philosophies of acting and thinking, well, this is valid and that's correct. Oh, that you can use this and you can use that. So I never wanted to take an approach that was dogmatic. As a matter of fact, even though, you know, Stella obviously was like, my way is the only way.
Right.
But I always felt that, you know, as you explore as an artist making choices, you can find all different ways. And so I'm more of the proponent of studying all the different techniques that are available and putting together your own toolbox, your unique toolbox that I call the golden box, where actors not only put tools, but lessons that they learn when they work on set or on stage. And then life lessons also go on that, you know, wonderful toolbox.
That's fantastic. It sounds phenomenal to me because there's no, you can, I mean, we're not one trick ponies, needless to say. We need to learn a variety of techniques. And so it begs the question, like, when do you audition? Like, is there an audition process to join your school? Like, when you
There's a screening process. You know, the same way that I don't like to audition actors for my movies. I think that if you do an interview, you get a sense. If this is a right fit, and they also get a sense, you know, the student is interviewing the school as well, and they want to know, there's many acting schools, is this the right fit for me? But we want, you know, people obviously that are committed to expanding, learning, nurturing their work ethic, and growing as artists, risking, keep raising the bar. Those are, you know, the best, that's the best fit. Of actors for our schools,
And what are the qualities you look for in an actor?
I love actors that are willing to take risks. I'm constantly asking when I'm watching either a TV show or a movie or I'm on stage. I'm always performance on stage. Who is this actor? Who are they? And I always take the playbill, as I have, you know, 10 playbills here on the table. And read them. I just want to know who it's. Today I saw Gypsy today. Wow. Well, obviously I know who Audra McDonald is, but I'm not familiar with everybody else in the cast. And I'm always very fascinated by actors, and I'm blown away by actors that take tremendous risks.
Right. Wow, that's phenomenal. Yeah, because a lot of people tend to stay like within sort of safeguards, if you will. And you just finished saying people that are dogmatic, and it's very important to be able to explore outside those boundaries, right? And not even have boundaries. So you're able to take those risks.
Absolutely. Right? I think that's the key.
Who have you mentored at your school that's pretty recognized, that most people or viewership would recognize today?
Well, a lot of people.
Sure.
So I hate to drop names, but you know, obviously if you go online, there's a list somewhere. But I'm, you know, happy to have helped people in their careers. I was watching recently a documentary that came out, and there were several people in that documentary that I had coached. Yeah. And I was like, oh, look at this. I know him and I know him and I know her. You know, it's great. I think this is a craft, teaching acting, coaching. It's a good craft. And it's a craft that not only do I teach it, but in my school, I have a faculty of teachers. And you want to pass it down. You want to pass it down to other people that in turn pass it down to another generation of actors.
Fantastic. Phenomenal. You have quite an extensive career. I mean, that's probably at least 15, 20 years, maybe.
Yes, I know. I'm old. I've gotten some Botox. Oh, I used to say, because it's only recently that I got some Botox. I used to say, I haven't gotten Botox yet. But recently, I've gotten a little bit of it.
So do you think, like, the industry has changed? You know, they're saying, like, after COVID, the industry has changed quite a bit. What do you think?
Yeah, things have, you know, unfortunately slowed down in Los Angeles. Los Angeles is it's a tough place because they don't really give tax incentives to independent films. Only really big budgets and studio get those tax incentives. So if you're going to shoot a, you know, a little indie movie in LA, great. But if you're going to shoot that mid-sized movie, it's going to be hard. You're going to have to go shoot it somewhere else. So production has slowed down considerably. As everybody knows, it was the aftermath of both COVID and the strike, strikes plural. But I actually have a very good feeling. We'll see, you know, in a year from now, I have a very good feeling that 2025 is going to bring us a huge surge of productions and filming, not only in the U.S., not only in Los Angeles, but everywhere. I think people are so motivated to tell stories because the technology keeps refining itself, and there's better cameras and better everything across the boards. And so that's why I think there's also a lot of great content. There's a lot of wonderful things to watch.
Absolutely. Let me ask you, let's back up a little. So as far as acting is concerned, you start off as an actress. How did you then seg your way into being an acting coach?
I think it had to do with my passion about the craft of acting and how much I studied it and the fact that I had studied with Stella and with Uda and a lot of other teachers. And so I came to Hollywood in the 90s. And a lot of actors asked me, would I coach them? Would I coach them? And a class started to form itself. And, you know, so everything was a stepping stone. Then I started to direct films, and then I kept teaching. So that's how, you know, one thing fed into the other.
Right. Yeah, and it makes sense. And we're so glad you did, because we need good acting teachers. And one of the things that stands out a lot about you is you're very charismatic. You have this charisma, this energy to you that's very palpable.
Thank you.
Yeah, it really is. And you know, you're passionate about what you do. Clearly, so many years later, you're still doing this. And let's talk about some of the films. Like, for example, I'm very interested. Pardon me. It's eggnog. I had eggnog all morning long. I'm interested in the Miranda Victim or Miranda?
I directed a movie a few years ago. Actually, it was, you know, towards the end of COVID. So we still had masks on set and COVID procedures. But it's called Miranda's Victim. It's a story about how the Miranda rights came about, and a story particularly about the survivor, Patricia Weir. And I was lucky enough to get an incredible cast of actors to come tell a story that had never been told. Nobody had ever told that story because the survivor never talked about it. And it came on the 60th year anniversary of the Miranda rights. And we shot it with Abigail Breslin, Donald Sutherland. It was actually, sadly, his last feature film. Such an extraordinary actor.
Unbelievable.
Andy Garcia, Kyle MacLachlan, Ryan Felipe, Luke Wilson, Emily Van Camp, Josh Bowman, Mireille Nos. There's so many great actors, and I'm forgetting some, but I won't. Enrique Morciano. I know I'm forgetting some. It was just a cast, a real wonderful cast of actors that came together to tell this powerful story.
And it's an important story at that, right? It's like a super, because no one really talks about it. Everybody hears about the Miranda rights and, you know, Ernesto Miranda and how that happened. Nobody actually understands probably, you know, the victim's side, the people that were affected by this person.
Nobody knew how, you know, in my last movie before Miranda's victim, called The Runner, the first scene in, somebody was getting arrested. You have the right to remain silent. You have the right to an attorney. You have the right. And I never questioned, well, where did that come from?
Right.
And there's a story. There's a fascinating story behind it. Sebastian Quinn played Ernesto Miranda. I know I don't want to forget any actors, but they were just all so great. It was great to work with this ensemble and be able to make this story come to life. And people also said it was very educational since they didn't know.
Wow. Yeah, it sure is. I mean, I for one, I didn't really understand the whole thing. I mean, other than not the film itself, I haven't watched it. But the Miranda rights, you know, and I kind of understand a little more about it now after delving into it and doing my homework and you know, sifting through the information. I figure, wow, there's a lot more to it than, you know, most people know. I mean, I don't think anyone really understands. So you are educating people while you're showcasing talent. That's good. As a director, what's the most, like, one of the most rewarding things about bringing a story to life?
Well, there's so many choices that have to be made. As the director, you have to pick the size of the canvas and the colors and the textures and what kind of paints exactly and the brushes, and you have to sign it. So many things have to come together. There's a million moving pieces. And it's difficult, it's challenging, but it's also fun because you get to decide what all those things are.
Wow. And so, and let me ask you this. Do you, as an acting coach, you speak five languages, if I'm not mistaken, right? You're versed in five different languages?
Yes, I speak French, I speak Spanish, I speak Italian, and Portuguese, and English.
That is pretty amazing. Great stuff. Now, I imagine you've learned these languages being that you've been to different countries, right, outside of France?
Well, because I grew up in Paris, and my mother was Italian from Milano.
Wow.
And we always had people speaking Spanish around us when we were little, and I traveled to Brazil and so learned some Portuguese there. And that's how I learned all those languages and became multilingual.
How exciting. And so do you teach in other languages as well, other than English?
I have, and it's been quite a milestone to go to Paris and teach in several different theaters in French and to go to all over South America. You know, I was in Guatemala, I was in Colombia, I was in Peru, I was in Mexico City, and teach in Spanish. So I was invited to Brazil to teach, and I will go, I'm sure, one day. And I'm supposed to teach in Rome next year and back to Paris. So yes, I've traveled all over and taught, and I've gone to Russia, of course, and I'm sure I won't be going to Russia anytime soon.
Yeah,
went to South Africa, to Johannesburg, to Cape Town. So I've traveled quite a lot, and I've taught quite a lot, master classes in London, all over the world.
Wow, it's phenomenal. And do you find, like, for example, other languages, you know, how does that translate with the acting, with the golden box and that sort of thing, with different, you know, like nuances and whatnot, you know?
Well, I'm prepared. When I'm going to teach acting classes all over the world, I look at the translation of very specific, you know, sentences and words. So I'm very, very prepared. And then, you know, I'll have a translator. In Russia, I had a translator the whole 5 days. in Istanbul. I taught several times in Istanbul. I loved that experience. That was very powerful.
And do these, because you've traveled extensively, I tend to ask everyone that travels, because I haven't traveled in a bit. Because you've seen so many picturesque places and, you know, you've been all over. And what is one of the places that really has stood out for you, you know, when it comes to not only scenic wise, but the people there, you know, the way they receive you and that kind of thing?
Well, I mean, I feel at home in many different parts of the world. So I love Italy, for instance. My mother was born in Italy, and I was there in April shooting a movie, a romantic comedy called Under the Stars, with Andy Garcia, with Toni Collette, Alex Pettifer, Eva Di Domenici, Vincent Raiotta, and a lot of other wonderful, you know, Italian actors. So I loved the food there. I mean, I just saw an article that said the best food in the world, and the first cities that came up were cities in Italy. I guess there's no big surprise there. I remember going to the supermarket, and everybody knew that I was, you know, a director directing a movie. And so, you know, I went to buy different foods and went home and cooked them. And then the food tasted so good. It was so fresh. They don't have like an organic section because everything there is organic. It was just a great experience. And I love Italy, every part of Italy. And I've traveled extensively throughout Italy.
Wow, that's phenomenal. I mean, I can imagine, like, just acclimating from one place to the other must have been somewhat of a challenge at first, perhaps.
Well, of course, there's also the time difference. You know, you get jet lagged, and, you know, when you travel a lot, you have to deal with that. So you have to just steal naps here and there, and then slowly but surely get back, you know, on track, calibrate yourself.
Yeah.
But I think I've made peace with myself that I'm going to travel more in this lifetime, hopefully, knock wood. And yeah, I have little tricks when I travel, how to keep myself, you know, productive, and also, you know, to really be rested.
Super important, highly important. And so let me ask you this, like, when you travel, do you travel with people with you? Do you have like an ensemble, a group of folks that help you, like handlers?
I travel with an entourage, which is my two kids. And it's been thrilling for them. We went snowmobiling last year and looked at a map from all over the world, and we were able to point to so many places in the world and say, oh, we've been here, we've been here, we've been there, we've been there. We haven't been there and we want to go there. But my kids come with me, my sister comes with me. I have help, you know, and obviously if I'm directing a movie, I'll have people, you know, assisting me. It takes a village. But I'm lucky. I have some wonderful help. And also what's very lucky about how I create art is that I have literally a village around me, collaborators that I've worked with on many different movies, from my director of photography to production designer to costume designer to first AD to composer, editor. I mean, I'm just so lucky to have these people that I respect their craft so much. And we all have a shorthand and are able to collaborate together in an incredible way.
Yeah, I think it's important that, you know, like you mentioned, to have folks that make you feel, you know, kind of like family, almost like you're traveling with family. I mean, not obviously in the literal sense, but also to the extended family that you have. So that it makes, I think, working, they kind of know what you look out for, if you will, what you're looking for in you know, direct, whether that's directing, whatever that looks like, or you're acting in something and you have your people with you, it helps to make the experience that much easasier.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. You also direct, like, you know, plays, and you've done over 30 plays, if I'm not mistaken. What does that feel like? Would you say, do you enjoy directing films as opposed to stage, or vice versa?
Well, I'm incredibly passionate about the theater. And so I've been here in New York, and I saw Sunset Boulevard, and today I saw Gypsy with Audra McDonald, and she brought the house down. I cannot imagine she would not win, you know, so many awards, and certainly the Tony for this performance. I mean, everybody stood. I mean, that's the reason why you go to the theater, to have this kind of spiritual, in-depth experience. I literally started to cry. And The Hills of California is incredible. Sunset Boulevard the other night was incredible. Death Becomes Her, Hold On to Me, Darling. I mean, the level of performances, it's blown me away to come here to New York and see this great, great theater. It's like a blood transfusion every single time. And as a matter of fact, I'm talking about directing something in New York. It's in the works. I've been working on this wonderful show called The Ticket to the Circus. And it's about the youngest wife, the latest wife of Norman Mailer. And I can plug, Norman Mailer has a great documentary that's out that I saw. It was named one of the best documentaries in 2024 in Daily Variety. So I've been working on this story. I'm very good friends with John Buffalo Mailer, who's a wonderful writer. I directed a movie that he wrote years ago called Hello, Herman, with Norman Reedus. And I'm talking about, I'm in talks about trying to get this, you know, directing here in New York. But I also have several movie projects that I'm going to be directing next year and the year after, and they're in the works as well. So if you ask me, do I like theater or film, I like both equally as much.
That's super fantastic. And now, when you did like your directorial debut, like who were your influences, you know?
It's a great question. And, you know, I've always loved international cinema. I've always looked up to Italian cinema, to Federico Fellini, to Sorrentini, to Bertolucci, also French cinema, François Truffaut. An English director has always inspired me, Mike Leigh. I've always loved how he's worked with his actors very improvisationally and worked on characters and defining behavior, idiosyncratic behavior. In terms of romantic comedies, Nancy Meyers is, you know, my hero. I love all of her romantic comedies. Love William Wyler and Hitchcock. What's interesting is that I have a really, my range, my taste is very diverse.
Wow. Yeah, rightly so. I mean, you speak five languages, you know, and you're Italian, right? You're half Italian.
I'm half Italian, yes. As a matter of fact, so I have a movie coming out, so I'm going to plug it on your show.
Yeah, of course.
It's a premiering on April 10th, and it's going to come out, everyone, April 11th, and it's called The Italians. It's a comedy, a family comedy, a romantic comedy, and it's fun, and I'm hoping there's a recipe book that's going to come out alongside with the release of the movie, about these recipes that have been passed down from generation to generation in our family.
I'm hungry.
Yes. And I think, and people have said that after they see the movie, The Italians, they're actually hungry for Italian food and to go hug their families, because it has a wonderful message about forgiveness and closeness to your family.
That's beautiful. My wife's half Italian also. And my acting coach is Italian. You probably know him. It's Spano.
Of course.
Vince Spano. Yeah.
Of Vince course. Spano. When you said my acting coach, like, oh, I hope I know him. Yes, I do know him.
Vincent Spano.
Yes.
Good dude. What do you call it? And so let me ask you this. So being that, you know, you create your own films and, you know, you direct and whatnot, it begs the question, you had to have probably, I wouldn't say audition, you say you don't audition, but maybe involve some of your students from your school, your conservatory.
Always. Our students come on set. They work in front of the camera, behind the camera. I have a movie called The Runner, where I cast almost all my students are in it.
The Runner.
Yeah. And also a lot of my students are in Miranda's Victim as well.
Wow. And what's that like? Like, is it like Michelle Danner, the acting coach, as opposed to the director? Are you going easy on these people?
You don't have time to teach acting on set, right? I can tell you that. You are very, you know, concerned always about making your day and shooting as much as you can, so you have as much footage as you can to play with in the editing room. But you have to be more result oriented, and obviously you are in class. Class is all about process. But I would say that being on set is always also about process. And you know, I never listen to what the actors say about me, you know, when they shoot them, when there's always an EPK going on, when they interview the actors on set. But recently I heard a few actors say some things, and everybody's basically was so happy to feel like they had a safe place so they could explore and they could take risks. And I think that's really important. It's important to not be so result-oriented when you're on set. It's important to constantly be in exploration.
Organic, other things happen.
Yes, and then not pressure, because when you pressure, you muscularize, you shut down. And when you, there's a freedom to let go and try things and make mistakes and fall on your face and get up and try again and try different things, I think that's, you know, conducive to something very unique that can happen.
Wow. Yeah, I think that by and large, I mean, it's that's an ideal situation, you know, like to just be able to go with your act, you know, get on a movie with your acting coach / director and be directed by your acting coach in a film, you know, and I love that.
They have said it several times. As a matter of fact, I have several projects in the works for the next couple of years where I will be directing students and former students. Yes.
I'm going to write this down so I can, I might take some classes. So yeah, that's great, because I mean, you know, you're at the same time, you're opening those doors, you know, that are really hard. I mean, you know, cause let's talk about talent. I mean, there's so much talent oozing through LA's nose and New York's nose, so to speak. There's talent galore, but, you know, people say there's so many talented people, but yet very few make it through the door. What do you think is going on with that?
Well, because I think that there is a lot of talent, but you have to have what Stella Adler used to say when I took her classes, a talent for the talent, which is this impeccable work ethic, you know, this really working harder than you ever want to work. And that takes a certain work ethic that not everybody has. And so, and especially, you know, the younger generation, because you know, they're a little coddled, and I'm guilty of it. I have two kids, but I really try. When the movie Whiplash came out, I showed both my boys the movie, not because, you know, I want them to literally bleed for their art, but metaphorically to do so and to work harder than they even thought possible. And it's okay. It's okay to work hard and want to cry and fall on your face, and I really want them to understand that.
Right. Wow. Sounds like you're, it's like somehow it blurs the lines between parenthood and the director and acting coach. You're all able to sort of combine both worlds, if you will, like, you know, because it seems like they're part of your, like you said, part of your entourage. So you're almost,
well, yeah,
them
they come on set with me. They help me. My oldest son is a graduate from USC where he studied film and theater, and he's a wonderful writer, and he's helped me immensely on the last, you know, four projects that I've worked on. He's been a tremendous support, and I in turn will help him as we continue to grow and create together. But no, it's great to have, you know, your kids be part of it, especially because you want to keep tabs on them and see what they're doing.
Exactly. It worked out pretty good for you in that case, because you never really, I don't think, I mean, for obvious reasons, you come from a family of talent, and, you know, they look up to you, and they felt like, you know, I got to do something in the arts. But what if you would have supported them had they gone a different direction, you think?
Oh, yeah. Well, one of my boys is an artist. The other one is a businessman, so he's not interested that much in the arts. So whatever it is, that's the key. I watched a documentary on the wonderful composer John Williams, and he's 92 years old, and he looks so great. And it's because he does the thing that he loves. That's always the key. So when you have children, you have to help them to find, discover, work on the thing that they absolutely love in this life.
Right. And what about Michelle Danner? Would you have done anything different if you could do it all over again, a do-over, so to speak?
You know, I never think about it. But I mean, I would have done what I see my old son do, which is he watches a lot of movies. He watches almost 4 movies a day some days. Wow. And he rewatches them over and over again. I remember that when I was his age, which is 22, I never liked watching anything more than once. It just bored me. And I think it was a defense mechanism not to go deeper in the work. And so I would embrace repetition more. I would not feel that I had to be on the fast lane all the time and I had to do and go. I would slow down. And, you know, that what is that book, The Art of Doing Nothing? I would have embraced that a little bit more because it's important to now, especially, you know, we're starting this from now, next couple of weeks. Hopefully I will be practicing a little bit more that art of doing nothing. It's very important.
I strongly doubt it. I think you're going to be doing something.
I was here in New York because they screened The Italians as part of our festival circuit at the Gallipoli Film Festival, which, you know, was very nice screening, went really well. And then after that, I saw one show after the next. But I think now I'm starting to slow down a little bit. Those moments are important. That's what I would have told my younger self. You know, it's always a good question. What would you tell your younger self? How would you have done it differently? I would have studied more, watched things more, slowed down more.
Now, you like literature. What are your favorite books these days? Do you have a favorite book you're reading?
Oh, yes, I have so many. I love to read thrillers. I love thrillers, but I love Michael Singer, The Unfettered Soul. I think it's a really important book. I think this book, Outlive, you know, How to Live Longer. I'm reading that. I read a lot of biographies, a lot of actors' biographies, Barbara Streisand's biography from last year. I'm reading that.
It's an incredible book, I hear.
Martin Short. I love Martin Short that hosted, I mean, can we just say for a second, Saturday Night Live yesterday. Oh, my God. I mean, the way he moves, and he's so funny. There was a skit in the car that was beyond hilarious. I don't know if you had a chance to see it.
I haven't yet.
Oh,
and I get around to it as soon as I get home.
Oh, it's just incredible. The opening number in Saturday Night Live yesterday. Martin Short is one of our greatest treasures. I'm reading his biography.
Yeah, that's a good one. So he has a Martin Short. So all these books you've read, have you thought about pen to paper? Like, when are you going to start your own book, or are you?
I'm working on it. It's a process. I'm working on it, but it's called The Golden Box.
Your technique.
Yeah. And it's the daily ritual. Cause I believe actors really need to do daily rituals to keep themselves, you know, exercised because you
like
get.
What are some of the things you can do?
Well, you can work on the material. You can work on, you know, monologues, different writers. I was just at an acting bookstore earlier, and there's all these great plays, and just keep reading plays and screenplays and memorize monologues, soliloquies, work on scene with partners, like playing great tennis, work on different exercises to keep yourself emotionally, sensorially available, observe behavior, like go to one of those coffee shops and sit down and just watch
you know, behavior.
Go to the airport and people watch at the airport, at the park, you know, wherever you can.
Especially Terminal Bradley.
That's right, because it's international. That's exactly right. It's fascinating. Behavior is just, that's a fascinating. I love watching couples in restaurants and, you know, guessing who's going home at night and who's not. You know, it's fun. Behavior is fun.
Who's sleeping in the couch for sure tonight? what are like, I mean, I don't even know where time's gone, but It's unbelievable. We've been on for 40 minutes, just under. Isn't that crazy?
Yes.
So we just started. I have a question for you regarding, like, what would you say, I don't know, like, what would you say would be, like, the best advice for somebody that's just starting? Because we have a lot of people that are aficionados, or like, you know, they want to be actors, and who doesn't want to be an actor these days, you know? And for the young person,
I think only in, yes, aside from the fact that obviously I'm a proponent of studying the craft, you know, and watching a lot of things and going to museums, and you know, but own in, after you do all that, own in on what you want to say as an artist. What are the stories that you want to tell? What is really important to you that you want to share? And be clear on what it is that you want to contribute. It's not a place where you want to come and say, what can I get from it? But right. What can I give? And I think if you start to think about that, it'll set you on a different plane, as opposed to, and not in a place where you will be disappointed, because as in every field, there's no's, there's that rejection, and artists are sensitive and they tend to take it to heart, and you tend to go home and play with your marbles at home and not want to come out and play anymore. Right. So you have to set it up for yourself so that you want to keep coming out and playing. And the way to do that is by really finding clarity in terms of what it is exactly that you want to share, what it is that you need to share.
Wow, that's beautifully said. And go visit Michelle Danner's acting studio in LA, or go online for sure. You have online classes also, right?
We have Michelle Danner Acting Studio, and I'll be teaching quite a lot the first few months of the year, because then I'll start pre-production on a movie. And I teach at the Michelle Danner Acting Studio, obviously, and at the Los Angeles Acting Conservatory, which are programs. Right. We have your one-year program, two-year programs, filmmaking programs, and there's a really wonderful community of actors. And that's what you're looking for, especially when you're young and you're starting out and you're learning. You're looking for that community.
Community, that's very important. And do you think, so that sort of, like, I suppose you can say, it's fair to say it's important to do networking, right? Networking with, you know, with the right people or even.
Yes,
you know.
I don't know why I never loved that word. It seems too much like work. I guess right. It's called networking. It seems like
find your community, right?
You know, I think that if you are at an event and, you know, you talk to someone and you just maybe, I don't know, you don't like them, then it really feels like networking, like you're doing it for a purpose. I think find other people that are, you know, kindred spirits that you want to share, have great conversations with. And I think that's how you will find the collaborators, the people you'll collaborate with in the future.
You'll find your tribe, right,
Michelle? Exactly. Your people. That's
right. I've had fun today. Where can people find you? What are your social media handles, and plug in all your the movies, everything down the pike?
Yeah, so The Italians is coming out in April. Watch Miranda's Victim. Watch The Runner, and you know, you can look me up. If you look at michelledanner.com, you'll find out about the classes, the Los Angeles Acting Conservatory, Michelle Danner LA on Instagram, and All in Films is our production company.
Well, I'm taking notes here. Yeah, I'm going to look you up for sure, Michelle, at the beginning of the year and swing by your class. Do you have any, can you audit a class or come in? Can I be fly on the wall?
Well, I'll tell you, I can invite you to a class that I'm teaching in February called The Golden Box, okay. Which is a two-day masterclass. Fantastic. So we'll do it quickly. It's 2 days, and basically I break down all of those tools that we talked about that you're going to put in that toolbox, the golden box.
Phenomenal. I'm all in.
Great. Have a wonderful holiday.
To you as well. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Guys, the wonderful Michelle Danner.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. Likewise. Take care.
Take care. Bye.
Guys, until next time. That's my show. Thank you.
You're listening to Almost Famous with Jim Francis Meza, only on LA Talk Radio.